our Bible reading, and Julie is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 24. Jesus at the Pharisee's house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited to take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place,' then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yokes of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the road and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen.
Thank you, Julie. A shepherd was herding his flock in quite a remote area when over the horizon he saw a Land Rover coming towards him, coming through the field, coming through over the mud, and the Land Rover pulls up alongside the shepherd. The driver of this Land Rover is a confident, young-looking man, wearing a smart Italian suit with his hair swept back, and he leans out of the window and calls to the shepherd. "If I could tell you exactly how many sheep are in your flock, would you give me one of them?" Well, the shepherd looks over his shoulder to see this vast number of sheep. So he replies, "Okay, fair enough, go for it." The young driver whips out his mobile phone and Googles a NASA page on the internet, from which he then goes to various GPS satellite pages where he's able to scan the area. This takes him to a very complex database of over 40 pages, which he manages to print on his mini printer. He then turns to the shepherds and says, you have exactly 5,186 sheep. Unbelievable. That is correct, says the shepherd. Fair enough, you can have one of my sheep. But just before the young man drives off, the shepherd says, if I could tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me my sheep back? To which the young driver agrees. You are a management consultant, says the shepherd. That is amazing. How on earth did you know that, says the young driver. Oh, that's easy, answered the shepherd. You turned up here, although nobody called for you. You want to be paid for an answer to a question I already knew. And you know nothing about my business. Now give me back my dog. The moral of the story, of course, being we think we know all about something, but we clearly don't know what we're talking about. And I think that's true, actually, when it comes to the Christian faith for lots of people. What does it mean to be a Christian? I wonder how many people would say a Christian is someone who doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't get into trouble, doesn't swear, doesn't take drugs, just doesn't. You avoid all those things and yeah, you're probably Christian. Others might say, well, a Christian is someone who goes to church, someone who prays, someone who's religious, someone who's helpful and kind. Others might say, well, it's just basically living a good life. You do that and, yeah, good, honest life, that's what a Christian is. All kinds of understandings people have of what it is to be a Christian. All of which, by the way, I would suggest inoculate you against what it really is to be a Christian. So in our passage this morning, Jesus has been invited to dinner by people who are deeply religious, you know, an important Pharisee. They knew all about God, or at least they thought they did. So here's Jesus, he's actually traveling, he's traveled down from the north, from Capernaum, and he's heading towards Jerusalem in the south. And as he's been traveling, he's been teaching and performing signs and wonders, to help people understand what it is to be in relationship with God. What does it mean to be part of his kingdom, to come under his rule? So as he's traveling down, he gets invited by this prominent Pharisee to have dinner with him. I guess he is one of the most respected people in the community. Now, I don't know what our comparative would be for today, maybe a bishop, or maybe someone who's higher than a bishop, the Pope. Someone really, really significant has invited you to dinner. Well, that's what's happening here. And then there's one of those awkward moments where Jesus performs a healing. And then Jesus gives some uncomfortable advice to the Pharisee. He says, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." I imagine that went down like a lead balloon. That is not the same thing to say, is it? In that company and on an occasion like that, it's embarrassing. This respectable leader of the community, as a host, would have been embarrassed. It's a bit like starting a conversation around dinner and somebody brings up this people are starving to death as you tuck into your second bowl of chocolate cake. It's awkward, isn't it? It's embarrassing. You know, let's move on. So we have this awkward moment. And then in verse 15, we're told that one of the guests speaks up, probably trying to alleviate the tension. So in verse 15, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.'" That's kind of code language, I think. Jesus, you don't need to worry about us. I imagine there was a collective nodding of heads when this gentleman stood up and said those words. You know, Jesus, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? These words were actually a common toast, or would have been spoken on special occasions. And it's picking up on what is said in the Old Testament about God's kingdom being like a celebratory feast, a lavish feast. For example, let me read to you from Isaiah 25. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from the earth. The Lord has spoken." Now, at this moment, all eyes, I think, would be on Jesus. So we've just heard this kind of toast, if you like, by one of the guests. "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, there was a response that was often given to that, which went like this: "O Lord, may we be among the righteous and counted worthy to sit among your people on that great day." But imagine the shock when Jesus does not give the expected response. Instead, he tells a story. So verse 16. "Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, so I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'Well, I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became very angry." I mean, that's quite an after-dinner story, isn't it? And it basically boils down to 2 remarkable truths. The first one being those who think they're on the inside will discover that they're on the outside. Those who think they're on the inside will discover that actually they're on the outside. So a simple story. A man is going to hold a banquet. He invites lots of people to the banquet and discovers that they refuse to come. And we have the usual time-honored excuses getting trotted out. I've just bought a field. We might label that possessions. I've just bought 5 new yoke of oxen and I've got to try them out. Maybe work. I've just got married. Relationships. In actual fact, all those excuses are mocking the host or the person who's given the invites. Because all of those things, all of those excuses, will be planned over a long period of time. They didn't just fall out the air, they didn't just kind of spring out of nowhere. If you were going to buy a field, for example, you'd have to know everything about that field. You'd have to think through, can I afford a field? What kind of field can I afford? What will I grow? You'd have to find out everything about that field. What was the harvest like before? And in fact, you'd have to almost memorize all of that and be able to repeat it word by word, before actually buying the field. So that you can no longer at some point in the future say, well, I never knew about that. Nobody told me about this. So everything would have to be known and declared right at the outset. So there's a long period of time involved in buying a field. The same applies to buying oxen and, of course, getting married. There is a long period of time, lots of planning in advance. So actually, it's complete mockery. And the point I think Jesus is making is it's not good enough simply to be invited. It's how we respond to the invitation. Everyone's invited. The invitation is for everyone. But it's not good enough for us to think, well, we're in the loop with God. We're on the inside. We're okay. So the question really is, what will we do with the invitation? How do we get a seat at Jesus' banquet and table? Well, it's very simple, really. We turn to him, don't we? We repent, we believe. So let's not fall into the trap of thinking, well, I'm a good person, so I'm okay. Or I come to church, so I'll be fine. Jesus is making a serious point. Those who think they're on the inside may well discover that actually their seat at the banqueting table has been taken by someone else. Well, thankfully, that's not where the story finishes. So those who think they're on the inside discover that they're on the outside, but wonderfully, those who are on the outside, that is the outcasts, come in. So verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. No, there are no empty seats at the banqueting table. Every seat will be taken. But the surprise is the people who are sat round the table. Surprise of surprises. And that's what we have in this parable. The people who are invited and the people you would not expect. There's a real shock factor in this. No, the poor, people who are not loaded down with possessions, the crippled, people who might never be able to get a job that would keep them away from this invite, the blind and the lame, social outcasts, who, for whom having any relationship would be almost impossible. No, this is not the A list, or even the B list. This is the bottom of the barrel list. It's a wow moment, really. But I think we also just need to be careful here. Is Jesus saying, to get a seat at his banqueting table, you need to be poor or have some disability? Is that what he's saying? And the answer is clearly no. So let's think about the guest list. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. I want to suggest they have at least two things in common. One is they are always dependent on the kindness and the mercy of others. The generosity of others. Without that, they cannot really live life, can they? They are dependent on the generosity and the kindness of others. And secondly, when kindness and generosity and mercy is shown to them, they never refuse. There's never an excuse. They simply welcome it. See, they're not hiding behind their possessions or status or their influence or their reputation or their religiosity. They simply come with outstretched arms. So the invitation is for everyone. But it's only those who recognize their need who find a welcome, who realize they are helpless by themselves, recognize that they are poor, crippled, blind, and lame. So it is a free invitation, but of course it's not a cheap invitation. Jesus knew, after giving that invitation to this incredible banquet, that he would find himself on a cross outside Jerusalem, paying the price for the sin of the world, yours and mine. And he knew that 3 days later he would return from death to life. He would rise again. And then he would return to his Father. But he would prepare this banqueting table. This lavish banquet that is beyond our imagination. So the invitation's gone out. The banquet's been prepared, been lavishly spread, and Jesus has said, don't make an excuse. don't even have to make yourself more presentable either. Just come as you are. Come and be part of the banquet that Jesus has prepared for you. Now, there is a banquet in heaven, but I think the banquet Jesus is describing here is simply life with him. And all the blessings we have when we have a relationship with him, of love and joy and peace and hope. So Jesus says, come. And maybe you've wandered away from God. Maybe the invitation is, come back. Come back. Shall we pray together? Father, we bless you. We bless you that you are indeed the God of all grace, the God who welcomes us in as we are, and yet not to remain as we are. But you take us on a lifelong journey of becoming more like Jesus. Lord, help us this morning to know that we have a seat at your table, that we have turned from our sin, and we put our trust in you, the one who paid the price for us. So we bless you, Lord. We bless you for this time shared together in worship, in prayer, and around your word. Lord, we pray for the rest of this day. We pray for our time of sharing downstairs. We pray for your presence amongst us, Lord. Lord, bless us, we pray, as we offer you our praise, our worship, and our thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.